today as we come to the table.
Guys, understand, your pastor's not always right. The police aren't always right. Parents aren't always right. The bosses aren't always right. But God says, submit to them. I've put them in your life for a reason. I'm going to mold. I'm going to shape. I'm going to do a work in your life, and I'm going to use them. Hagar, go back. You need to return. What you see is unfair authority in your life to mold and shape you. But in reality, Hagar was the one that had brought these consequences on herself, because she was the one that was really rebelling against what God wanted her to do and had the wrong attitude and all. But he says, go back and submit under her hand.
God has put influential people in your life. Whether they're positive influences or negative, you have to or get to interact with them. Many times God has talked through people to communicate with one of his sons or daughters. And God has used difficult people to teach us patience and kindness. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will remind you to pay attention to who you surround yourself with. Be attentive to how God may be using people in your life to speak to you and challenging people to, well, challenge you. God puts everyone in your life for a reason, to shape and mold you, to look more and more like him. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 16, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Note this, I want to point this out. It is by the well of water that God gets our attention in these desert and wilderness times. What do I mean? God's word, the Bible says, is a well of water. It is the water of life. And even as God has brought her to this place, now God is speaking the words of life from his word into her. Some of you, God has brought you here, and there may be some level of rebellion in your heart. Maybe as a believer, you're rebelling against something. Maybe as an unbeliever, you've never given your life to Christ. God has brought you to a place in the wilderness, but it's a well of water where he can speak to you and where you can hear him. And now by this well, God begins to pour out into her life and to confront her sin, to confront her pride and say, you know what? You're Sarai's maid and you need to humble yourself. And secondly, by pointing out that she was Sarai's maid, he is also reminding her of where she's supposed to be. She's supposed to be in Sarai's tent under Sarai's direction and authority as a servant to Sarai. And again, oftentimes when we get prideful, we come under those authorities that God has given us and we decide we're going to do things our own way. Listen, this is an important lesson for believers. We need to understand that God has given us these authorities to direct our life, to help and mold and shape our life. In every avenue of life, we have authorities. Now, that doesn't mean that some authorities, as we said earlier, aren't doing things that are wrong or asking us to do things that are wrong. And if that's the case, in that case, we do come out from under those authorities. Whenever they ask us to go against the word of God, or if they're breaking the law or putting people's lives in danger, we don't come under those authorities. But up to that point, God says, submit to them and let me use them to mold and shape you. You should be back in Sarai's tent. I know she wasn't fair. I know she wasn't right, but allow me to do the work that I want to do in your life through that. And next, notice he says to her, he asked her where she was coming from and where she was going. Now, note this, God knew. It wasn't like, oh, hey, look, there's somebody wondering, hey, where are you going? And where'd you come from? Why do you think God's asking her obvious questions he knew? He wants her to recognize it and then admit it. You see, the first step in being restored to the Lord is humility, breaking the pride. The next step is realizing where we are and where we're going and confessing before God. He wanted her to realize where she was, where she was headed, and this sure road that she thought would get her away from her problems was a sure road to destruction and death. And God was saying, Hagar, you're in rebellion. You're running from where I want you to be, and you need to go back. And now I want you to realize that. I want you to recognize that, and I want you to confess that, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that. He did the same thing with Adam and Eve. Remember when he came to them after they sinned? They're hiding in the trees, like, I can hide from God, right? So you're hiding in the trees, thinking you hide from God, and God says, so Adam, I can see God kind of, where are you? You know? He knew where he was. Over here. Yeah, I knew that. What are you doing there? Well, we counted the fruit thing, and here we are, and we're kind of naked and exposed before you, God. That's right, and I want you to confess it. And I believe Adam did confess it because they killed an animal and the blood. Well, that's a whole other teaching. But the point is, God wanted Hagar to come to a place where she would say, you know what, Lord, I am exposed before you in my sin. I realize that I'm wrong. And now you've shown me this and I need to confess this before you. And God is bringing her to that place. Where are you coming from, Hagar? And where are you going? You know, there's that time in our life where God has to say, you know, where are you going? And some of you, God may be challenging your heart right now. Where are you going? What road are you on? Are you on a road to destruction and rebellion, or are you on a road to life? God's meeting you right now through the well of his word, the water of life, saying it's time to come back. It's time to repent. It's time to return. And so it's exactly what he's doing, bringing her to this place of confession. And notice by asking her where she's from and where she's going, it's not only a place of confession here that he's leading her to, but he's also working toward a place of repentance. You see, as she has to search her heart and she has to confess in her heart what she's doing, she has to also realize that, all right, if I'm doing something that's wrong, I need to repent. And so God brings her humility, then confession. After confession, he confronts her with repentance. She needs to go back, and he's going to tell her to go back. And then after repentance comes forgiveness. And note this, these are the exact same steps today that we have to take to be right with God. We have to first humble ourselves. Then we have to confess our sin. Then we have to repent of our sin. And then we have to return to where we were before that sin. That's as a believer. As an unbeliever, we need to go through all those steps from scratch, and that is to be restored to God. And so God here is allowing her to go through this process, and he's doing his best to bring her to her senses before it's too late. She's on this road to destruction. And again, she not only would have no doubt died physically, but she would have died spiritually as well. And so the Lord says, you know what? And again, because she's running away from where God wants her to be, he says, Hagar, you need to go back. And notice verse 9, he now tells her to repent. So the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress. Or we would say, repent. Go back where you know you're supposed to be and submit yourself under her hand. Again, repenting and returning and submitting under this authority, key for her to getting back where she needs to be. And then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for multitude. Now, notice this promise God gives her. It's like, look, I know you're going through hard times. I know Sarai is treating you rough. I know you're not where you want to be, but I'm going to bless you. If you will simply obey me, if you will just go back and do what I've asked you to do, I will bless you. And the same message is for us today. We may not be exactly in the place we want to be. It may be that we feel sometimes our parents are unfair to us. As a kid or as a teen, it may be sometimes we feel our boss is not right with us because they're not treating us the way they should. It may be sometime that we think the police shouldn't have pulled us over but gotten the real criminals, you know, as we're pulled over for our speeding ticket, right? And by the way, I didn't get a ticket, so I'm not getting anything out. It might even be that we're upset with our pastor because he has confronted us on some issue in our life and we say, how dare, who does he do? Guys, understand, your pastor's not always right. The police aren't always right. Parents aren't always right. The bosses aren't always right. But God says, submit to them. I've put them in your life for a reason. I'm going to mold. I'm going to shape. I'm going to do a work in your life, and I'm going to use them. Hagar, go back. You need to return. What you see is unfair authority in your life to mold and shape you. But in reality, Hagar was the one that had brought these consequences on herself because she was the one that was really rebelling against what God wanted her to do and had the wrong attitude and all. But he says, go back and submit under her hand. And he says, I'll multiply your descendants. I'll make them counted. There'll be a multitude. And it's similar to the promise he made to Abraham, except not quite as extensive. But at the same time, I'm going to bless you. Don't worry. And let me just say this. The descendants of Hagar, Ishmael, and those, these are the Arab peoples. And God has blessed them. There are great people in the world today. There are many of them in the world today. God said, I will bless them and I will make them great in multitude. And let me just say this, I think that we need to remember this as believers because of our love for Israel, because of the fact that we stand with Israel in their wars and in their trials, we have to also remember that just because God has chosen the children of Israel to bring the line of the Messiah in, and God has made these promises to Abraham, he still loves the Arab peoples. And we need to love them as well. They need Jesus Christ as much as we need Jesus Christ, and as much as the Jews need Jesus Christ. We must never mistakenly think that because the Jews were God's chosen people, that the Arabs are God's forgotten people. I think a lot of times it's easy to do that from our vantage point. So we have to have a balance when it comes to our love for Israel and our standing with Israel. We also have to be praying and saying, God, open the eyes of the Arab peoples around them that are rebelling against them, that their eyes might be open, that they might see the truth, and that they might be saved as well. You know, it's interesting when you go to some of the, or hear some of the stories coming out of the Arab countries. I was first introduced to this when Tracy did some mission work into the Arab countries. But again, this came up again just a couple of weeks ago. God supernaturally goes to these people and reveals himself to them in ways that don't happen here when they don't have the gospel preached to them. It's the most amazing thing. You can hear testimony after testimony where God literally came and revealed himself to someone who is in a Muslim country. They had no testimony, they had no gospel, and they say, God came to me in the room and spoke to me and said, I am Jesus Christ, I am the Savior, and I've come to save you if you'll repent. We had another one of those a couple of weeks ago. There was a man from Egypt who was standing before the Israeli Knesset. Maybe you read the story. He came there to tell them of God's love for them as a nation. He said, you know what? I am an Arab and I come from Egypt. And he said, and I don't know if he said Arab, but he said, I come from Egypt, but he was from those peoples. He said, I'm an Egyptian. And he said, you know what? I have been against Israel my life. I have fought against you. I've been antagonistic. I was in the Six-Day War fighting against you. He said, but God intervened and defeated us and spared you. And he said, the Lord came to me and spoke to me where I was and said, Jesus Christ is the Savior, and that I needed to give my life to him, and that Israel was his nation, and that they would never be defeated, and that God was standing with them. And he said, I repented, and now I, as an Egyptian, stand with the nation of Israel, and as a Christian, I want you, the Knesset, to know that. Powerful. Powerful. I mean, what are you going to say to a testimony like that? But we have to remember God loves the Arab peoples, and we have to guard ourselves. I mean, again, I'm not saying that when there's a war that comes against Israel and the Arab peoples gather against them that we stand with the Arab nations. No, we don't. We stand with Israel. God's word warns us about that. He says, those who bless you, I'll bless, and those who curse you, I'll curse. We have to stand with the nation of Israel. But we need to be praying, God, for those that are attacking and their eyes are blind and they don't know, open their eyes that they can know Christ through this. And let them come to you and make sure that our hearts are right toward all peoples as well as God loves them and God died for them. The problem is, yes, Jesus loves the Arab as much as he loves the Jew. The problem is they've gotten out of God's will and they've believed the lie of the enemy and been led astray. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love them. Well, Hagar is in the same place and God is now restoring her. Notice what the angel says here, what the Lord says in verse 11. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child and you shall bear a son and you shall call his name Ishmael, which means literally God hears, because the Lord has heard your affliction. And notice this, God tells Hagar that she's going to have a son, and again, his name will be called Ishmael. God hears, letting her know, I hear you. She no doubt was crying out in her distress, saying, Lord, this isn't fair. They're not treating me right, and now I'm in this wilderness and all this and all the grumbling and complaint coming out of Hagar's heart, and God says, I've heard you, and I hear you in your distress, and I'm answering you. I see you, and I hear you, and God wants us to know that right now, if you're in a place of distress, he wants you to know that he sees you and he hears you. God knows your place of distress, but you've got to cry out to him. If you stay in a place of distress and anguish and you don't cry out to the Lord, you're going to stay there and you're going to die in the wilderness, not only physically one day, but spiritually. No, you've got to cry out and say, God, I need you and I need to be restored to you. I need to be back to the place I need to be. And I love this because when you cry out to the Lord, God hears, God sees, and God answers. And that's exactly what God has done for many of us. And you already know that by your own personal testimony. And now Hagar is finding that out. As she cries out in this wilderness time, in this horrible time, in this afflicted time, God answers her and makes promises to her. And notice he goes on in verse 12 and describes what Ishmael will be like. He says, he shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Does this not describe the Arab peoples today? Truly, this is not, again, in any way taking a shot at the Arab peoples. This is, as we said, God loves them, we love them, and we need to reach them for Christ. But, I mean, they not only fight everyone around them fights them, and the amazing thing about them, even as God predicted, they fight themselves. They fight among themselves. One of the reasons they haven't been as organized as they would like to be against the nation of Israel is because they have too much infighting among their own nations and their own people. And because of that, they stay in confusion and they stay ineffective. God no doubt uses that to his advantage, but the Lord now prophesies in advance. He says, here's what he's going to be like. I mean, he's going to be fighting with everybody, and everybody's going to be fighting with him, and there's going to be this stress and this anguish and all this. And then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees." For she said, "Have I also here seen him who sees me?" Therefore, the well was called Beer Laharoi. Observe, it is between Kadesh and Bered. Now, this is interesting. Beer Laharoi means the well of one who lives and sees me. And this would have been a new revelation to Hagar, because the gods of Egypt from which she came were not gods that could hear and see. They were statues. She saw the statues that were put up in Egypt and how they would bow down to them. She's thinking, well, supposedly that's a god, I guess. But this God's different. This God sees me. He saw me on the run. This God chased me down. This God stopped me at this well. This God refreshed me not only physically, but now spiritually is giving me the well water of life. And this God hears me. I cried out in distress and this God heard me and this God answered me. That's the God we serve, guys. The God that sees us, the God that hears us, the God that answers us and refreshes us at the wells of life in spirit. What a great God. This is the God that Hagar was now coming to know. And this is the God that if you don't know today, you need to come to know. And maybe God has you in that wilderness time on a way that you think is the right way. But God is saying, no, you're going the wrong way. And I'm speaking to you today. It's time to turn around and to receive Jesus as your Lord. And God is having mercy on you doing that. Hagar is now experiencing this merciful time before God. Again, notice also the well was located, this is interesting to me, between Kadesh and Bered. Now, it's interesting here. The word Kadesh means holiness. Or we would say the place where God wants us to be. And Bered means hail, that is ice. And throughout Scripture, God uses hail as a form of judgment. We see it in the battles of God where Joshua was fighting the Amorites. We also see it in the last days in Revelation when it says God will pour out his judgment and hailstones the size of 75 to 100 pounds will be falling on the earth. It's going to be an enormous judgment of the Lord. But what's interesting about this is note where Hagar is when God reaches out to her. Hagar couldn't be reached while she was at the place she should have been. So God had to allow her to go toward a wrong direction. Not that God wanted her to go that way, but God had to allow it so he could get her attention. And now somewhere between Kadesh and Bered, that is somewhere between the place where God wanted her to be and the place of judgment, God speaks out to her. And maybe some of you are in that place today. You're in between the place where God wants you to be, that is receiving Jesus Christ and walking with him in holiness, and the place of judgment, Bered, which is the road you're on, which is the wrong path. God is meeting you today and saying, you know what, it's time to turn around. You're on the wrong road. You're in a place that I'm speaking to you, but if you continue down this path, if you continue toward Bered, you eventually will face the judgment of God. And the Bible says that God is loving of the rebellious and God is merciful and forgiving, but there does come a point when we don't repent and we don't turn that God does bring the judgment. And so where do we find ourselves today? Do we find ourselves in between that place? See, here's the good news. If you're in between Kadesh and Bered, you're in between the place of holiness, the place where God wants you, and the place of God's judgment, and you're on the wrong path, you're not to the place of judgment yet. So the good news is, right now, you have time to stop the path you're on and turn it around. And now you can turn that path around and head back toward Kadesh, back toward the place where God wants you to be. And God is calling out to you to do that very thing. The question is, what will your response be? Will you do it? And as I said, God is doing it the same way he did with Hagar. He's doing it right now by a well of water. What is that well of water? The word of God, as you're hearing it being poured out right now into your hearts. God is letting you know his love, but he's also saying you need to turn around and repent, or else there is judgment down the road. That's the balance. That's the place between Kadesh and Bered. And so God is faithful to give us that opportunity. Notice he finishes here, verse 15 and 16. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Again, notice the obedience. It shows that sign that she's responding to the Lord because she named him the name God asked her to name him. And it says, Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. Now, it doesn't tell us the details about her going back, but we know she did. Because we see that she went back, she indeed had Ishmael, and lived with them for many years after this. And again, so we see that when God confronted her in this place, she responded. She humbled herself. She had to humble herself to go back to Sarai and admit that she was wrong. She confessed her sin. She had to ask forgiveness to have right standing with Abram and Sarai, and she repented. She stopped acting that way, at least for that time. Now, later on, we're going to see she gets into trouble again. But we see at this stage of her life, Hagar is doing what God asked her to do and is doing the right thing. And see, this is the example that we need today as we finish this passage. And what is that? Are we in rebellion and running from the Lord? You say, but wait a minute, Mark, I'm a believer. What do you mean in rebellion? Listen, as a believer, you can be in rebellion. And that is right now you're not living in a way that God is wanting you to live. You're not living a holy life before the Lord. You've got sinful issues going on that you know about. And God is dealing with them in your heart right now. God is saying, you know what? I'm going to have to deal with this issue. What did Samuel say? Be sure your sin will find you out. And so we think we may get away with it for a little while, but you know what? We're on the road to Bered. We're on the road to God's chastisement. He's saying it's time to turn around and head back toward Kadesh, the place of holiness where you need to be. But again, if you're here and don't know the Lord, you are on your way to Bered, and without Christ, there's no hope. The Bible says the path will continue to lead into the wilderness and to a place of not only physical death one day, where we will all leave these bodies behind, but the Bible says our spirit is eternal and we will live forever. And we will then face the Bered of God. That is the judgment of God in our life if we don't repent and receive Christ. The question is have we done that? And if we haven't done that, are we willing to do that? Are you somewhere between Kadesh and Bered? Then respond. As you sit by the well of water, respond. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that when we pray for believer and unbeliever. But understand this, if you're not at Bered yet, you still have the opportunity to turn and come back to Kadesh. And that would be God's desire for you. Let's ask him to do it. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, God, that you do love the rebellious. But God, I also thank you that you love the rebellious too much to let us stay in that condition. You love us too much to let us stay in that state of rebellion. And so, Lord, I pray if there are any believers here right now that, Lord, are living in rebellion. They know what your word says. They know what you've asked them to do. And yet, Lord, they are choosing to take their own way. They are choosing to walk down their own road toward Egypt, toward the world, what they feel is the sure path to get them where they need to be. But Lord, by your grace, you've met them and you've turned them back and turned their eyes upward and said, no, return and do what's right. God, bring us as believers to a place of repentance right now in our heart if we're not where we need to be. Let us confess that sin in humility, repent and be restored to you and get back to the place you want us to be in holiness. But Lord, I lift up especially those who don't know you. Lord, any that are on their way right now down toward Egypt, believing that it is the right path they need to take, but you have revealed to them they are in a wilderness, a spiritual drought, and there's a hunger in their heart to be filled. Lord, as they hear your word, the wells of water being spilled out, I pray that right now you would reveal to them not only your love, but Lord, that Jesus died for their sin, and that if they will confess their sin and repent of their sin and receive you as their Lord and Savior, that they too, Lord, will be turned to Kadesh, the place of holiness and righteousness before God, and the place, more importantly, of salvation. Lord, move in hearts, whether it be believer or unbeliever, whether it be first-time commitment to you or whether it be a recommitment of the saints. Lord, I pray that we would find ourselves facing the proper direction and taking the action we need to take to make it right, no matter what direction we were taking. We thank you, Lord, that you give us the opportunity and that you love us so much that you have met us, stopped us, and turned us back the way we need to be. Now let us make the right decision. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us as we come to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark Kirk. In this series, Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Genesis. Genesis is a book that covers genealogy, world history, and God's promises. It was written by Moses to those who perhaps needed the reminder of how God came through for his people, no matter what. Do you need this reminder today? We're so glad you decided to join us for this series. There's nothing greater than spending time together at the feet of our Lord. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to see you in person. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. If you're interested, go to thewaymedia.net and scroll to the bottom of the page. You'll notice a link to Calvary Knoxville. If you can't make it in person, you can find all sorts of messages available at thewaymedia.net. Or you can download these messages too on the Way Media app. Find it at your Apple App Store or Google Play Store. We're about out of time for today's edition, but we want to hear from you. Would you give us a call and let us know what you've been learning from Genesis? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Pastor Mark has more to share with us as we go verse by verse through this book of beginnings. Keep reading, so you'll be ready to dig through Genesis the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.